The book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. My message is on the subject, when trouble comes. And this passage of Scripture just gives us a little bit of an insight as to what kind of a person Job was. We can see in the first 5 verses that he was a man of great faith. He prayed much. You'll notice in verse 5 that when he found that his children were having parties in their houses, he wanted to make sure that if they sinned, that he had prayed for them. He said in his heart, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. And you know, I think here it implies that he didn't expect to hear his sons curse God outwardly. But he said that they may have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And that's something I think that we fail to realize. When we disobey God and we do things in our life that's not in keeping with the commandments from God and the Word of God, we are, in essence, cursing God. You know, the Bible tells us, and especially we see this several times in the New Testament, that you don't have to commit the actual act to be guilty of the sin. Because God says if you do it in your heart, if you think it, even if you hate a person to the point that you'd like to see them dead, according to the Word of God, you're just as guilty as if you murdered them. So what he's saying here is that he didn't expect that his sons might outwardly curse God, but he thought that by their actions in their parties, they would be cursing God in their hearts. And so he prayed for his family. He prayed that God would bless them and that God would watch over them and take care of them and intervene so that they would not sin. Now, Job was a man of great faith. He prayed constantly. And in verse 25 of the first chapter, verse 22, I'm sorry. Let's begin with verse 20. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. This was after Job had lost much. Satan had come in and afflicted him till he lost everything he had. He was a wealthy man, and all of a sudden, all of his possessions were totally taken from him. And yet he said, it said, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Then in the second chapter, and in verses 9 and 10, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now this is after he had gotten the boils and was suffering, and he was there on the ash heap scraping himself with a broken piece of pottery and was sitting there hurting all over. I can't imagine what it would be like to have boils all over your body. I've had boils, one or two, and that's enough to make you sick all over. But to be completely covered is just beyond my imagination. But above all that, with all of that physical suffering that he had, then his wife comes up. And she says, you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. What a terrible thing for a man to have to take when he's already suffering so much. But that's what she said. But even when she turned on him and said that, he still said, shall we take good at the hands of God and not evil? And in all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now, I don't know any greater way to tell and to talk about what a great faith Job had. The very words of God and, well, in the words of his wife. She says, dost thou still retain thine integrity? You still are the kind of person you've been? How can you do this? So we see that the testimony of Job from God, from his wife, is that he was such a man of great faith that he prayed and he accepted troubles that came upon him. But Job was human. He was human just as all of us are. And after all these things happened to him, then he had a bunch of friends that came in. And they started telling him about how bad he was and how wrong he was. And he knew that he hadn't done that much wrong. I'm sure Job, like all the rest of us, knows that there's a lot of things we could have done better and a lot of things that we could have done differently and a lot of things we should have done and a lot of things we shouldn't have done. I'm sure that he felt the same way. He knew that he had failed in many ways, but his friends just out and out told him he was a terrible sinner. And that all of this came on him, obviously, because he was such a terrible sinner. And eventually, having all of this coming upon him, he began to weaken a little bit and began to complain. In the book of Job, in the third chapter, in verses 1 through 3, it says, after this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Now Job didn't curse God. He didn't complain to God about what was happening, but he was beginning to weaken a little bit, and he began to complain, and he cursed the day he was born. And of course, this was wrong, and he has to answer to God for that, which God took care of that later on in his life. But the point is, he began to say, "Why was I ever born?" You know, a lot of times in our lives, troubles come upon us. We have all kinds of things that take place in our life, and we don't understand why. Job didn't understand why these things happened to him. He had no idea right at this time. He was found out. He found out later. But right at this time, he didn't know why all of this was happening. Didn't know why he lost everything he had, and his children were all killed, and his wife turned on him, and he had those boils and all that. He didn't know why. And why his friends just kept telling him, "You must be a terrible sinner," and so on. He doesn't understand. He just knows that it's happening. And he knows that he trusted God. Well, you know, a lot of times, we in our life, we have things that just keeps coming upon us. And we don't understand why. And like Job, sometimes we get a little weak and we begin to complain. You know, every once in a while, not real often, but often enough, too often, I'll get a little depressed myself, and I'll kind of sit around and go through a period of time where I'll get to thinking, well, you know, why try and why do these things and so on and so forth. It's human. We have this old nature in us. Job was like that. In the sixth chapter of the book of Job, in the fourth verse, he says, "For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me." He speaks of being God's target. God is sending out these arrows of poison. Chapter 9 and verse 17. Chapter 9 and verse 17. "For he breaketh me with a tempest, and multiplieth my wounds without cause." He says, I don't know why that he's doing these things to me. In the 16th chapter and verses 12 and 13. "I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground." He speaks of being God's target, and many, many times you get to the place where you wonder why God is bringing this or letting this come upon us. That's the way Job was. Why? Why, God, are you allowing this to happen to me? I've tried to serve you. And in chapter 7 and verse 21, chapter 7 and verse 21 says, "And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be." He said, "Why don't you pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity?" Questioning God and asking why, just why. Chapter 10 and verse 7. "Thou knowest that I am not wicked. There is none that can deliver out of thine hand." And verse 14, "If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity." His whole thinking here, he's weakening, he's questioning. He says, "Why, God, do you allow this to happen. And in the 23rd chapter, chapter 23, and verses 1 and 2, "Then Job answered and said, Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. My complaint is bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning." Chapter 9, back at chapter 9. And verses 27 through 35. "If I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him. We should come together in judgment. Neither is there any days man betwixt us, that might lay his hand upon us both. Let us take his rod away from me, and let him take his rod away from me. Let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me." See, he's talking about his complaint. Chapter 10, verse 1 says, "My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." All of this shows that Job, being human, frets. So the message that I want you to see, message that I want you to realize, when troubles come, it wears on you. And sometimes we, like Job, get to the place that we question and wonder. But I want you to notice in chapter 14 and verse 1, Job says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Then verses 14 through 16. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? In chapter 16 and verse 20. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Now, Job, this is in the midst of the time when Job began to weaken and began to complain a little bit. But notice, even in his complaint and in his weakening condition, he still clings to his faith. He still trusts in God and knows that God is going to take care. Sometimes we, like Job, as I said a moment ago, get weak and even question God in our hearts when trouble comes. But let's not let ourselves ever get to the place that we let our faith and our trust weaken. That's where we run into trouble. When we let our faith and our trust weaken because of the troubles that come in our lives. There's going to be troubles happen. There's going to be things happen. And more and more as we are in the last days, and we know that things are going to happen in the future and near future, I believe. It's going to be very difficult for children of God to serve God. There's going to be a lot of trials. There's going to be a lot of wickedness and evilness in this world. Like, there are people that are bombing places. We talked a little bit about this morning. People that are bombing places. Or attempting to. People that are in some of the major highways, there are people that stand along the way and they shoot at cars, just no particular reason, just shooting to see if they can hit somebody in cars. couple men were picked up with having all kinds of germs for germ warfare that could be spread out across the country and across the world. Things are happening, not to mention the earthquakes, the storms, the floods, the tornadoes, the things that are going on that's just not common or normal. Wickedness, evilness is becoming more apparent. It isn't that a lot of these things are new, it's just that they're more out in the open with it now. And we see these things going on and a concerted effort against Bible believers, against Christianity, against the churches. So we have things that happen to us personally in our lives. We have troubles that come upon us in our life. We have things that take place as far as our spiritual lives are concerned. And being human, like Job, there are times when we will say, I don't understand. And in a sense, we're saying, why, God, is this happening? But even if we get to the place like Job, where we may question God, and we fret about the things, and even to the point of cursing the day we were born, we need to never, ever lose or weaken our trust and our faith in Almighty God. There may be things happen to us that we don't understand. There may be things happen to us that makes it difficult in our life. But the more difficult it becomes, the stronger our faith needs to be to God. And to know that whatever happens, we know that God's in control. Job found that out. He knew that, but he found it out anew as he went through his life. And then I want to remind you that even though Job got to the place every once in a while where he questioned God and wondered why this is all happening, but Satan is the cause of all Job's troubles. In chapter 1, for instance, in verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." And without reading these other verses, you know what it says. He said, look at Job, he's perfect. No wonder you put a hedge around him. He has everything perfect. And why shouldn't he trust you? Take those things away and he'll curse you. So God gave Satan permission to take them away. Then in chapter 2 and verse 3, "And the Lord said unto the Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." So Satan says, well, yeah, but you haven't touched him. Touch his body and he'll curse you. And so God gave him permission and Job was covered with the boils. But keep in mind, Satan is the cause of a lot of our troubles, most of our troubles. Satan is the cause of everything that takes place in our life. But he can only do what God allows him to do. And if God allows him to do it, then rest assured that there's a purpose and a reason. When we begin to say, why is this happening to me? And I don't know if I can bear it or not. And I know we've all come to the place at times when something has happened and we've said within our hearts, I don't think I can handle this one. I don't think I can handle this one. This one is just too much. But it isn't. It wasn't. The last time something happened in your life and you were all upset and you thought it was more than you could handle, you handled it. You know why you handled it? Because the Lord made you able to handle it. He took you through it. So whenever we get to the place, I don't think I can handle anymore. Remember Job. Remember Job. And how, when it was all over, God blessed him. And that's what we find in the Word of God. When it's all over, we're going to be blessed beyond imagination. You know, Satan comes around as a roaring lion, all of that. But he can only do what God allows him to do. Over in the 38th chapter of the book of Job, and we'll very quickly bring this to a close now. Job chapter 38, verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Who speaks without knowledge? Verse 4, Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. He says, Were you there when I created all these things? No. Then remember that I'm the great creator. I control everything that has given you trouble. You see? He's the one that created this world. And if we have troubles in this world, it comes from that which God owns. It's His. Chapter 40. And verses 1 and 2, Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Listen, he says, don't instruct God. Say, well, I'd never do that. Well, don't we do that when we question God? When we say, why did you allow this to happen? Aren't we in so many words saying, God, you should have done it a different way? You know, I try to do a few things once in a while, and I try to make things. I don't know the first thing about making things. And I probably do it wrong. And it could have been done a different way. And probably could have been done, well, no doubt could have been done a lot better. But God does things perfectly. And we don't need to question God. We need to just say, Lord, I don't know the purpose, but I know the one that has allowed it to happen. And I know you're in control. And I know that everything is according to your will. Well, the result is in chapter 40 and verse 4, Job says, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. He says, I spoke when I shouldn't have spoken. Chapter 42, Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I speak, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And then the next thing we find, he's praying for his friends. He prays for his friends. And God blesses. He lived 142 years after that and saw four generations. Yes, we have a lot of problems. We have a lot of troubles, just like Job did. Not like Job, but we have a lot of troubles. And when we get to the place that we begin to wonder and question, let's remember who God is and how great He is and that He's in control of everything. We may not know why. We may never know why until we get to heaven. But we will know that God is in control and there's a reason for it. And one thing we do know, whatever God allows to happen to us, one thing, it's happened to us so that we can be an example to others and we can be of assistance to others that go through similar problems. So if for no other reason, that's one reason. So when troubles come, thank God for the one who gives you the strength to go through the troubles and the trials that you have to face. Shall we stand and be dismissed? Jim dismisses in word prayer.